I'd like to read to you this morning from the 78th Psalm. If you have your scriptures and would like to read along with us, the 78th Psalm. I want to read the first 8 verses of the 78th Psalm. The scripture says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." If the Lord would be with us this morning, I want to speak to you concerning a charge to teach the children. A charge to teach the children. If you're here this morning and you say, "Well, I don't have direct children in the congregation, and so, Brother Will, this message may not be applicable to me," I want to encourage you to stay along with us, because the charge to teach the things of God don't just end with your natural children who sit on the pew next to you. The Lord may open up a door for you to exercise this ministry, if you will, in a forum that may not be your natural children, but the charge still stands to teach your children. The scripture that we've read to you, and that if the Lord would be with us as we go through these things that happened unto the children of Israel, that the psalmist David is now reminding them to continue to teach their children, again, bring us to the New Testament text where the Apostle Paul tells the church at Corinth. He says, "These things happened unto them for ensamples, but were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." He says they happened unto them as examples. These events that we're about to go through, that the psalmist David is specifically mentioning as being things that the Israelites should teach their children and their children's children, literally happened to their people. They were a testimony that the children of Israel had as a ready word of God's blessings upon them. Not only their blessings, but also not only God's blessings, but His rebuke unto them whenever they failed to heed to the word of God. Therefore, the next verse that the Apostle Paul goes through, and I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, about verses 10 and 11. He said, "Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." He says, these things happen unto them for ensamples, but they were written for our admonition. "Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." If you think you stand this morning upon the promises of God, and I pray, God, that if you're gathered here today, that you say, "I stand and I rest upon the promises of God," let me continue the verse to you. "Therefore, let him who thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." That tells me that the Lord can bless you to stand and to rest upon the promises of God and to understand them and to trust in them and to believe in them. But there's still some things that you've got to take heed to in your life, or else you'll fall. Or else you'll fall. You know, the Apostle Paul not only mentioned it to the church at Corinth and he warned them concerning those things in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He also told the church at Rome the same thing in Romans chapter 11. He said, if God spared not the natural branch, take heed that He spare not thee. The Lord cut off the Israelites because they did not take heed to the teachings and the testimonies that were recorded in their word. The Israelite people were a covenant blessed people of God, and the Lord cut them off from the light of the gospel truth. And the same charge still stands to brothers and sisters in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Take heed to the teachings and the examples of Scripture, lest you fall. And what is the charge that the Lord has laid out here? He says that you teach your children the things of God. You teach your children. You know, the charge stands not only for a pastor to teach the children of the congregation. The charge stands for parents to teach their children the things of God. I know that I've told you this before, but I want to continue to remind you of these things. The Scripture says, these things I would that thou would affirm constantly, so that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. And one of the things that I've told you over and over is, one day a week is not enough to instruct a child. One day a week, you think about one day a week to teach your child English. I believe if I had to go back and add up the weeks of English that I had from the time I was in the first grade until the time I finished down at the North Avenue Trade School, I didn't have to take English down there, praise be unto the Lord. But I still don't have it mastered. And I took it every day for week after week after week. So what does that teach us about the things of God? This is not something that we can ever say that we finally achieved the pivotal point of perfection on, but it's something that we have to continue to ingrain into our lives and ingrain into our children. And the charge stands to the old Baptist today to do the same things unto your children. And if you stand in the promises today and you said, Brother Will, I believe this all my life, the charge stands for you to tell your children why you believe these things. You know, one of the things that really, it breaks my heart to hear, is to hear that somebody rests in the promises of God and they believe in the promises of God and they say, Brother Will, I'll never believe any other doctrine but the old Baptist truth, but yet they don't walk in that truth. So that breaks my heart, because that tells me that they may know the truth, that they may understand that God paid for their sins on the cross at Calvary, but somewhere along the line something got broken off and they didn't know why they should continue to praise the God on high for the things that He has done for them. It got broke off. And that's what the Lord is charging these Israelites with. He said, you didn't tell them all these things that He did for you. You lost track. You may have cared in the church. You may be going through the jots and tittles of the law, if you will. But you're not telling them about what God has done for you. And I charge you today, child of God, never let your lips be sealed upon confessing the blessings of the Almighty God that He has done for you, whether it be for your children or whether it be to your fellow brothers and sisters. It's an encouragement to me to hear the testimony of people. Do you walk off when somebody starts telling you their experience? If you're sitting at a lunch table and somebody starts telling you, listen to my journey from the wilderness into the temple. Listen to how God brought me from a point of being in darkness to a point of being in great light. Am I the only one that enjoys and rejoices to hear the testimony of the Lord's people whenever they have finally had the light, their life and immortality brought to light through the gospel? And what they are doing in the process of that is they're glorifying God for the things that He has done for them. And that's what the Lord is charging the children of Israel with. Start with me again in verse 1. He says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. You know, this morning, as I've read to you the 78th Psalm, we're literally reading the words of the Lord of creation's mouth. We're reading the inspired Word of God. We're reading the Word that the Lord literally breathed into existence through the men that penned it on this page. And He says, take heed to the words of my mouth. Listen to the things that I am going to tell you. He says in verse 2, He says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. As we have gathered here this Lord's Day, we have gathered here under the teachings of the same doctrines of grace that this church was constituted upon, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was founded upon in Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 16, when He says, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. These are the sayings that our fathers had told us. These are not things that just their fathers had invented And we have not gathered here today under a doctrine that our fathers have invented, but we have gathered here under a teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ established in His church, and He gave unto the apostles, and they constituted churches all around the region of the Middle East, and eventually worked its way into Europe, and then after several hundred years worked its way over to the country and the continent of America that we abide in today. And at some point in time, upon a mountainside in was it Bartow County back then? It wasn't, was it? It was I've read the minutes, but I forgot. It wasn't Bartow County, but it's back where it used to be, located on the lake where we gather for a funeral every once in a while. That there was a faithful group of believers that gathered there and said, we want to form a church upon the doctrines that our fathers have taught us that God's Word confirms. And that's what we're here to do today. I'm so thankful that we can still say that we're taking heed to the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy. He said, the things which thou have heard of me. The Apostle Paul, what did he tell Timothy? Did he say, the things which I do not say is good doctrine for you to follow? Because if the Bible doesn't say it, then that means it's okay for you to do. Did he say that? You know how some people want to justify what they're doing? Well, the Bible doesn't say you specifically can't do it. I tell you, that's no justification for our actions. We justify our actions by saying that the Scripture teaches us to do it. To do the things. He said, the things which thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. And that has been how the church has continued until this present day, is that those men continue to teach the things that they have heard and that are confirmed in the Word of God. And he says here, the psalmist David is teaching the children of Israel to do the same thing. You know, the worship service changed under the doctrines of grace. We no longer have the law service where we offer the lamb and where we drop the blood upon the mercy seat. Because see, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all those. Those were just types and shadows of the Lord's literal offering upon the cross at Calvary. And so the worship service changed. But there's a lot of the things that are the same, you understand? And that is that they're still continuing to teach the things that God ordained. He ordained them to teach it to the Old Testament saints. And He's ordaining us today to teach it to the New Testament saints. He says in verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. You notice he uses the language that he won't hide them from their children. We will not hide them from our children. Do we recognize this morning that if we fail to teach our children the things and the doctrines of grace, that we're just not failing to teach it to them? We're hiding it from them. We're hiding it from them. And you say, well, God, or well, Brother Will, there's some things that we just can't teach. You can't make a child of God. Amen and amen. There's some teaching that takes place in the new birth. When the Lord makes His abode in the heart of a child of God, there's teachings that come with that. And He teaches a fear of God. He teaches a love for others. He does that. It's an innate teaching that He does whenever He changes the heart. But it's the job of the church and the job of the parents to take that teaching that the Lord has ingrained in the heart of a child of God and make it grow and add unto it and pray for God's blessings upon it and for Him to fertilize our efforts in order to be able to make some of the fruit continue to abound out of a child. The fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians chapter 5. And every child of God has a measure of that particular fruit. But in order to make that fruit abound, there's got to be some things added unto it by our efforts. You know, the teaching that I hope by now that I've established that I'm not a fatalist. You know, there's some people that believe that Primitive Baptists are fatalists. That because you guys believe in a predestination and election, that y'all just believe that everything that's going to happen is going to happen anyway. Just go on about your life. It's going to happen. Just go on and live and take it easy. God has already preordained everything. That's far from the teaching of Scripture. If that's what Scripture taught, why would the psalmist David be charging the children of Israel to do certain things? Where would the need of admonishment be? He said these things are written for our, these things happen unto them for examples, and were written for our admonition. It's written so that we would be admonished to do certain deeds. And whenever we fail to teach our children, we're hiding the things of God from them. You know, salvation by grace is not complicated for a child to understand. It's not. It takes somebody to have already taken somebody's mind and warped it to make it hard for them to understand. You know, you take some children who have been taught a man's way of salvation, and that is that man can save himself. It's hard to teach grace. It's hard to teach grace to them because their minds have already been warped with that doctrine. But you take a little lamb of God who can simply read a sentence that he shall save his people from their sins and that it shall be done. That's not hard for a child to understand that God is already touched. You can't teach a child that who God has not already changed from a state of death to a state of life in him. But it's not hard with God's blessings to be able to teach a child that God saves us from our sins by himself. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He did it by himself. Son, daughter, he did it by himself. You know, you don't have to have a children's ministry set up in the church to be able to teach these things. These things are things that should be preached from the pulpit. These things are things that the parents should address with their children. They should not go about life and thinking, if God wants my child to be a primitive Baptist, he'll make him one on his own. I tell you, child of grace today, you want to talk about a fatalistic mindset and one that'll crush a church, is that mindset that you're not supposed to teach your children the truth. That's exactly what the psalmist David here is warning the children of Israel about doing. You can't do that. You can't take that for granted. These charges stand for us. These things are written for us to do. He says, and as we continue to read, he says, we will not hide them from our children, shewing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. You know, I'm thankful this morning that not only as I read the Word of God and as I see some of the examples that the psalmist David is going to bring about here in this particular chapter, that I can not only say that, look, son, daughter, look, niece, nephew, look, whoever the Lord blesses to come into your life to be able to teach the truth to and be able to show some things of God about. But you know, I've got some instances of my testimony that I can show the wonderful works of God in. I believe it's a positive thing for us to be willing to shew our infallible nature, our Adamic nature, and be able to show the things that we've done wrong in life and show people how God has corrected these things and made them better. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't willing to do that because they don't want to recognize that they were ever wrong. One of the evidences that this is the true Word of God that we've got open here before us, because what does it do to the story of each and every man that it brings forth here in this Bible? It tells us not only the good things that they did, it tells the negative things. You go and you read most autobiographies that people write of themselves, and buddy, all you're going to get is the positive. But God made sure in His Word that the men who were brought forth in this book were not only shown to be great men of God who had courage and who followed the Lord in the admonitions that He gave them, but they were also men. They were still men. I tell you, one of the worst mindsets that we can ever get in is that we're not willing whenever we sit down with a hurting child, a hurting little lamb who is saying that I'm the only one who has ever felt this. I'm the only one who's ever committed this sin, and I'm so terrible from committing it. And you're sitting right across the table from it, knowing that you're guilty of it yourself. And you said, I can't tell them because I don't want them to think that about me. I can't tell them that I've ever been guilty of doing it. I can't tell them that I've ever done anything wrong in my life. The only thing I want to tell them to do is the right thing. Well, I want to tell you, you're half right. You're half right. Tell them to do the right thing. But I want to tell you, it might do them some good to know that somebody who had done something wrong previously, that the Lord blessed to be able to make it right. That the Lord blessed to be able to make it right. That may do them some good. Because it's not a trait from on high for us to be willing to recognize that we're sinners and that we've done wrong. That's an Adamic trait for you to want to think that you've always done everything right. One of the as Brother John Scott pointed out on Friday night in a conversation before we got to church, was around the subject of mankind being unwilling to accept the doctrines of grace because they cannot wrap their minds around total depravity. They cannot get in themselves that by nature they are deserving of hell. How do you think that statement sounds to most people who have been brought up in the religions of this world? You know, some people, I've heard of some people who were approached by others who were trying to save souls for Jesus and who came up to them and right to their face told them they were going to hell. No, that's not what I'm talking about doing this morning. That's not the teaching that I'm trying to encourage this morning. Because that's not that you don't have authority to declare that. I want to try to teach you to do things that you have the authority to accomplish. There's things that belong in the hands of God, and there's things that God has given us to and put in our hands and in our responsibility, and told us that He's going to bless us to be able to do. And you don't have authority to walk up and look somebody in the face and say, "You are going to hell." But I tell you, you do have authority to walk up to somebody. You have authority from on high if you want to tell somebody you deserve hell. Because there ain't a person sitting in this building, there ain't a person who's ever been conceived in the womb of their mama who does not deserve an eternal hell. That's I say that by the authority of the Word of God. The Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, one of the things that they teach, what's the thing that the world takes whenever they say, "Well, we're teaching our children." What do they teach them? That God loves everybody. There's a little bit of good in everybody. One of the things that disturbed me is I've been to supposed to be a Primitive Baptist Association before, and I've heard them say, "Well, we're teaching our children here." And what did they do? They pulled all the children up to the front to sing a song special. And what did they sing? They sang, "Jesus loves all the little children, all the children of the world." And I'm sitting here thinking, boy, you want to talk about a warped interpretation of what we're supposed to do with our children. That's not what the charge is today. It's not the most profitable way to teach a child is by letting him entertain the congregation with an earthly song that isn't even scriptural. It's not even right. The things that we're supposed to teach our children are the truths about this word. And one of the truths of this word is that every man, every woman who has ever been conceived in his mother's womb is deserving of a hell. That's true. And if it were not for God's grace reaching down and pulling him and changing them, that's where they'll go. That's truth. A child needs to understand that. And it doesn't take a mature ram, ox in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to understand it. He says, "We will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord." The praises of the Lord. How do we shew unto our children the praises of the Lord? By doing what we're doing today. By praising the Lord today. And making sure that they understand why we come to church. You know, some people just feel that they're drugged to church. And they never know why they're here. They sort of just know, "Well, I was brought to church my whole life." But were you ever explained why you went? It wasn't only for the good food. I don't want to say it wasn't for the good food. Because there's nothing wrong with enjoying a good meal and company with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to say we come to church for the fellowship, but it's not only for that. We come to church for things that aren't only for that. But the main purpose of our gathering today is to shew forth the praises of the Lord. A child being seated on a pew next to their mother and daddy and feeding from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he may not eat the same meal that you eat while you're sitting there. There may be things that you understand that maybe he doesn't understand, and he may take some things from the message that you must necessarily may not get in the same context, but God has a way by His Spirit of blessing that and blessing that form of teaching, because it's what He has ordained. And that's what we're doing at the house of God today. We won't hide them from it. We're not going to let them take them out and remove them from the congregation. We're not going to have a separate room for them to color and for them to be able to perform arts and crafts. No, we won't hide them from these truths. The Scripture says that we'll teach them unto them. And by God's grace, we'll have an effect on their lives. I pray God it will for the Lord's glory and for their benefit, that it would have an effect on them, that we wouldn't hide these things unto them. I tell you, this psalm may have been written 1,000 or so years before the Lord Jesus Christ ever stepped foot and performed His earthly ministry. But I tell you, the truth is no less. It's no different from that which Jesus taught. He came into this world. And remember, and you say, well, who would have the mindset that you're supposed to hide the things from the kids? What did the disciples do when the kids ran to Jesus? They rebuked Him. Said, "Get away. Stay away from Him. Don't bother Him. You know, don't get around Him." That's the mindset of the world today. Get them out of here. It may be the mindset of some of you today. Get it out. Don't pay attention to the things going on in the congregation. It's a blessing to hear the sounds of little children going on in it. We don't want to remove them. We want to hear it on the pew. That's where we want to hear it. And the mindset that that's not where we want them is from the world. It's not from God. The Scripture says that we will teach them. We will teach them. I tell you, there's ministers of the gospel who I talk to and who the Lord blesses to come in touch with a congregation that's blessed with children. And I tell you, it's music to their ears to be able to know that there's children on the pew being taught. Being taught. They don't. If a child ever gets to the point where they bother me, I'll have to take a break. But nevertheless, please try to stick with me and let's teach the things that the psalmist David is bringing forth here. Let's teach our children these things. We will not hide them from them. We'll shew forth the praises of the things in which we're supposed to praise the Lord for. How much more praising is it that we give God all the honor, praise, and the glory for our home in heaven? That's a praiseworthy tune that we try to preach and sing here at the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord in His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children. You know, if you'll remember when the Lord set forth the ordinances of the Passover feast, what did He say towards the end of that 12th chapter of the book of Exodus? He said that there will come a day when your children will ask, what mean ye by this service? They'll ask you. You know, a child, you don't have to put the questions in their mind. They're inquisitive whenever the Lord gives them the nature of the new birth. They want to know. There's certain things that they want to know about. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to ask them in public, but there's things that they're going to want to know about. And the Scripture says that ye know why you have done these things, that you would make them known to their children. They were supposed to be the Old Testament saints as we are today. I believe that whenever we read that Levitical law, we're coming up on it. If you're sticking with the daily readings that we tried to hand out on the calendar, we're coming up on the Levitical law. I mean, we've already gone through certain portions of it in the book of Exodus, but as we come up on it, does the thought cross your mind to have the same mindset that the psalmist David did about the law of God? He says, do not I love thy law, O Lord. He says, do not I love thy law. Do not I love it? You know, is that our mindset that this, because God has given this from on high as a holy and a righteous law, do we not love the law of God? It shows us for being the sinners that we are, but it glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ for being the one that fulfilled that law. It's glorifying unto God. Jesus is the one that fulfilled that law. And so as we read through it, and as you see, boy, I'm getting lost in these types and shadows. I'm getting lost about why this and why that's in there. Look for Jesus as being the fulfillment of it. And I tell you, it'll be enriching to you. It's not as we search the Scriptures, for in them we think that we have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. If we'll take ourselves out of the equation and look for Jesus in the Word of God, that's when we'll begin to be fed by it. If we'll take ourselves out of the equation many times and place Jesus in there where He goes, then we'll be the ones who are fed, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be the one who's glorified. We see here that He says that we'll make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. You know, think for a second how blessed. The Scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Think for a second. I hope that there's some things that as I have been your pastor for more than 5 years, that I hope I've established. I've mentioned one earlier that I'm not a fatalist, that I don't believe that God is a puppeteer in heaven making us move and direct. He can. Make no mistake about it. He can do whatsoever He will. But that's not the way that the mind of God works. Another thing I hope I've established is that I'm not a numbers. I don't focus on a numbers-based ministry. I'm thankful when the Lord adds into the church. But the focus of the church is glorifying and praising God. It's not in just seeing how many warm bottoms we can put on the pew on Sunday morning. Every once in a while, there needs to be some things that those who have come from the world and are not willing to make a change in their lives are just going to need to feel uncomfortable about whenever they come to the house of God. And if they don't want to make a change about it, then that's going to have to be something that they work out with God. It's not something where we modify what goes on here in our worship service. But think for a second, and those of you who have been around here for 30, 20, 30 years, maybe even a shorter time period of that, think of what the pews would look like today if the children and the grandchildren of all the members 20 or 30 years ago were here, including those of us who have been grafted in since that time. Think for just a second what the brothers and sisters who have fallen away from the church and from the love of God and from the love of the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of those for just a second. Not only think back, but look forward. Look in just the children that the Lord has brought forth from this congregation just over the past 5 years, and think that looking forward in 20 years, if the Lord would bless us to teach them these things and these commandments so that they would obey them, how blessed our congregation will be. And again, it's not for the numbers. It's for the relationships and the love that can grow in that portion of time. Think about how joyful it'll be. I tell you, I don't want to get your minds focused too far off of heaven. I want you to think and know that that's the perfect place. That's where our minds should be set. But while we're on this side, we should want to make it as joyous as we can in the presence of the Almighty God. And He's given us those instructions here in this psalm. He says, teach your children and their children so that they would obey the commandments of God. You know, I don't want to tell you that due to failure of a minister, these things will be neglected. It can be neglected by a minister, and it will fail to achieve that which God has set forth. But I want to tell you that you can a good parent can overcome the failures of a poor ministry. I pray that one of the ways that you can overcome it is you can have a sit down with the minister and tell him where he's failing to feed your family. But I want to charge you today to teach your children. Have a vision that they would understand the doctrines of grace. That they wouldn't be impacted by the religions of this world, but that they would know the truth. Isn't that what the Lord set up whenever He set up the Israelite kingdom? He warned them about the religions of the world. And He said, you know, you have to be careful about marrying into them. And you know, it doesn't mean in the New Testament that you can't take a wife who grew up in another order. It just means that you prepare them so that whenever they become married, that they're not influenced by the religion of the world, but that they're influenced by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these things, if we teach them, the Lord will bless them and add to the church accordingly. I tell you, He says here that not only that they'll know and not forget the commandments of God, He says that they wouldn't be. Notice what He says. He not only mentions what He wants them to be, He mentions what He doesn't want them to be. Who wants a hard-headed child? I tell you today, if you want to, who wants to glorify and saying, boy, I got a hard-headed one. I tell you what, that's one trait I love about my son or my daughter. He is a hard, I tell you, I just rejoice that every time I tell him to go brush his teeth, he goes and throws a mud pie in my face and tells me he doesn't want to do what I say. Who glorifies in that? There's not one person here today who can say that they're thankful that their child is that way. And God doesn't appreciate it either. What does He say in verse 8? He says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He says, don't harden your hearts as in the day of provocation. Don't turn your heart against the teachings of God. Don't do that. So often we let a thought fester with us so long that we get upset with somebody in the house of God to the point where we've let it fester, where the festering is no longer with somebody at the house of God. It becomes between you and God because you haven't dealt with it right. But the Scripture says that we would teach our children the commandments of God so that they would know how to handle those little disputes. Those little quarrels, if you will, with one another without involving everybody. And so that they would not be rebellious as their fathers were. You know, those are the examples. That's the example that He's fixing to give in verse 9. which I thought was going to be the major portion of the message today, but I did not intend to focus so long on the first 8 verses that I read to you. But as we, for just a few more minutes, go through some of these examples that the Lord gave that the people of Israel did. He mentions Ephraim, that the children of Ephraim in verse 9, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They had the equipment for warfare. The children of Ephraim had the equipment for warfare. I'm not saying that a child who is brought up in the nourishment and admonition of the Lord, who is rocked and cradled in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not going to have some of the equipment. But they got to know how to use it. They got to know how to apply it. They've not only got to know how to apply it in conversation, they've got to be able to apply it to their walk with Jesus. That's the reason why it's important that we teach duty at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the doctrines of grace, and I know for the first 3 years I was here, that's about all that I preached on was the doctrines of grace. There was very little duty. If you don't believe me, go back to the website. And if you want to go and hash through those first 3 years of sermons, you go, most of it is grace, grace, grace. And I believe that the Lord blessed us to be able to go through that so that you knew that I was established in those teachings. And so that by knowing that I knew the doctrines of grace and was teaching those things unto you, that you knew why it was important to do the duty behind it. But it's important to teach duty and to combine the doctrines of grace with that duty so that we know why we should walk a certain way. They had the instruments of battle. And you say, what is the example of the battle that they're talking about? If you go back and you look through the specific wars that the children of Israel went through, I don't see one specifically where the children of Ephraim were the ones that turned back. But I can tell you that I believe, this is what I believe that this is talking about, is from Numbers chapter 13, where Joshua, as the leader of the tribe of Ephraim, went into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, and he came back. And it was Joshua and Caleb who told all those families, we can take the land. We can take it. And you know, it doesn't say, the scripture doesn't teach us that the children of Ephraim followed the one who was their leader. There was only two out of that multitude that thought they could take the land. Those children of Ephraim were just as guilty as any of those other tribes because they were distressed at the news of the giants in the land of Canaan, and they failed in the day of battle. I tell you, child of grace today, there's battles out in this world. And there's warfare out in this world. And if you go about it with only your instruments and not know how to apply them and not know that the Lord is on your side, you'll fail in the day of battle. You'll fall under the pressures of this world. But if you'll trust in the Almighty Lord and if you'll continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll withstand the fiery darts of the devil. You'll know how to use that shield against the fiery darts of the devil. You'll know whenever your children come home from school and says, listen to what somebody said at school today. You'll know how to go to the Word of God and sit down with them and say, this is what the Lord teaches us and how we should apply this. You'll know those things as opposed to saying, you just got to deal with it. And there are some things that may be the scriptural answer to. You may just have to deal with it. But nevertheless, the scripture teaches us that we can find a way to apply these things to our life. But the children of Ephraim, they didn't know. What were they? They were rebellious people. They didn't enter in to the joy of the Canaan land. And how many children today, they're rocked and cradled and they come up and they hear of the joy of Canaan land. But yet they don't have the trust in the Lord of the teachings of the Word of God that there's joy on the other side, that there's blessings inside the church. And they never enter in. They never rejoice and get to eat of the fruit of the land. They'd rather pick through the fence, if you will, as a preacher said one time, and just get a few berries off the vine. I tell you, I'd rather walk through and not worry about getting the barbed wire stuck in my arm. I'd rather just go and to eat from the tree of life freely in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a rebellious nation. That's what he said, teach them. You teach them about what will happen with rebellion. They died in the wilderness. They died never having tasted of the fruits of the joyous land of Canaan. And I tell you, there's a lot of children of God today who don't get to eat from the joyous land of Canaan because they've never been taught about how good it is on the inside. They've never been taught about what a blessing it is to follow the Lord in obedience and to follow His teachings and to receive the blessings from God. Don't make that mistake, is what the psalmist David is saying. Not only does he say that we're supposed to teach them the warnings, he said, you teach them the marvelous works that the Lord did amongst you. He mentions in verse 10, he says that, verse 11, verse 10 is a continuance of the ones that turned their back in the day of battle. But verse 11 through 13, it says, "And forgot his works and his wonders that he had shewed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand up as a heap." The land of Zoan, he's mentioning the plagues. He says, "Children of Israel, you mentioned those things that God did to those Egyptians. Isn't it a marvelous thing to be able to sit down with the Word of God and say, look at what God did to the Egyptians, but yet the Israelites sat over here, right their neighbor, if you will. their neighbor right there up against them, but yet when darkness fell upon the Egyptians, they had light in the camp of the Israelites. When the lice came in and ate up and got all in the villages of the Egyptians, there was no lice on the Israelites." I tell you, if that's not an easy way to teach about the hedging hand of God, I don't know what is. And that is that Satan's power is only as far as where the Lord will let him go. The Lord has Satan in complete control. He cannot go any further than the Lord suffers him to be able to go. That's a perfect way to teach the marvelous providential hand of God. He's got his children inside his hand, and behind that hedge, Satan cannot get to them. I tell you, the Lord has laid here plenty of ways for us to be able to teach these things unto our children. He says, you not only teach them the warning of failure to recognize the commandments, you teach them the wonderful things of God. I tell you, I encourage you today, can you not come up with something in your life that if you had an opportunity to talk to a child about what God had done for you, that you could talk to them about? I think I've seen enough just in the time that I've been your pastor here that I could come up with. If you can't come up with one, talk to me, and I think I'll give you an example of how the Lord has blessed not only us collectively as a church, but you as individuals, so that you would have an opportunity. Tell my children about it. You know, I encourage you to not only say that you can talk to your own children, talk to the children of the church about it. The ways and means of the way that the world goes about teaching children is foreign to the Word of God. The right way to do it is for us as individuals to do it, for the parents to do it. And may the Lord bless us to recognize that, for us to be able to take these things and say, just as the Israelites were supposed to teach their children, we're going to do the same, so that the Lord would not remove us from His covenant blessings, that the Lord would continue to have His church here at Macedonia. The children are the future of the church. Now, I'm not saying that God can't, after a whole generation of them has been wiped out, that the Lord can't add back into it. We've seen examples of that before. The Lord can do that. Sure. But I pray that the church of the future is my children. I want that. I pray that the church, future of the church is your children and your grandchildren. That's my prayer this morning. I believe it's God's will. If it wasn't God's will, they wouldn't be here with you today. They're here with you today everybody likes to say there's a reason for everything. Well, I tell you, there's a reason why they're here with you today. It's because you're supposed to be teaching them, and I am too. And I'm supposed to be showing them love, and you are too. And may the Lord bless us to be able to do that according to the Word of God. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning. May the Lord richly bless you, is my prayer.